we got to keep working on this, finishing up these second coming classes. And tonight, I'd like to ask you a question. Don't answer me, please. Don't answer me. Israel, how many of you believe, don't answer me, that Israel is God's time clock? I read that. I've seen that. I've heard it. Israel is God's time clock. Well, I've read the Bible through, reading it through again, and I'm still looking for it and can't find it. Has anybody found it? Now you can raise your hand. Where Israel is God's time clock. Nobody? Where do we get all this then? Israel is God's time clock. Okay. I'll ask you another question. Does the Jew have a special calling just because he is a natural descendant of Abraham? Does the Jew have a special calling just because he is a natural descendant of Abraham? If the answer is yes, then God has a calling for the flesh. Let's talk about the flesh for a few minutes and see if God has a calling for the flesh. My question was, does the Jew have a spiritual calling just because he is a natural, that's flesh, descendant of Abraham? And then I said, if the answer is yes, then God has a calling for the flesh. Question, does God have a calling for the flesh? Let's read from the Bible. Philippians chapter 3, you might want to turn there. Chapter 3, 1 through 9. Does God have a calling for the flesh? Does the Jew have a special calling just because he's a Jew? Just because he's a natural descendant of Abraham? Oh, please, don't walk out yet. Come on back. Nobody was leaving. I just thought, sure, somebody'd leave when you start talking about Israel, you know. Everybody's got their mind all set that Israel's God's time clock. Israel's God's chosen people. Israel, Israel, Israel. The Jew, we got to take care of. Oh, and America's in good luck because we're supporting Israel and so on. Okay, listen. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Let's not go by articles that people read. Let's just go by the Bible now. I won't even have to give you my interpretation. You will read my interpretation right here in the Scriptures. Listen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There it is. Now, some people thought, or I've heard sermons on it, that, oh, you better not go by that bar because you don't better not have confidence in your flesh. Oh, you better not look at that magazine. You better not have confidence. That's not even talking about the lust of the flesh. It's talking about your natural descendancy. Because Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul says, if anybody's going to trust in their Jewish flesh, he says, then I should trust in it more because I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He's calling his natural citizenship, his natural descendancy, and he says, I count it dung. I count my Jewishness but dung that I may win Christ. Isn't that strong? That's really strong. I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God which is by faith. Are you listening? Romans chapter 9, 1 through 8. Praise God. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. And again, Paul writes, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children. Did you hear that? Being a Jew doesn't do a thing for you. I'll guarantee you, you're going to read it over and over in the Bible. This was a big subject with the Apostle Paul. He didn't want to get us he didn't want to let us get sidetracked on this subject, because it's so important. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Talking about the natural seed of Abraham. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, now he explains what he just said. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Wow, what a revelation to some people. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, chapter 11, 1 through 14. There must have been a rumor among the Romans that God had cast away his people because the Gentiles were coming in great numbers. And the Jews had rejected him. And so Paul says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? His people, the Jews? Paul says, God forbid. I am an Israelite. I am a Jew. I am of the seed of Abraham. I am of the tribe of Abraham. God hasn't cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also, when you were thinking that God cast away his people, which he foreknew, when you were thinking that God cast away the Jews, he says, even so at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more works. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Figure it out. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Talking about Jews, isn't he? Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, Paul says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. You got to hear this. I hope I have time to finish. How much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I, the Jew, am an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Listen to this. Now, some people say that all the Jews are going to be saved just because they're natural descendants of Abraham. You don't have to believe that. Not if you want to believe the Bible, too. If by any means I may provoke to emulation the Jews, them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Well, how do you get this? Where does this doctrine come from that because you're a Jew, somehow a nation's going to be turned unto the Lord? Somehow when Jesus comes, all the Jews are going to look and see their Messiah, and they're going to believe, and a nation will be born in a day. Now, the Bible talks about a nation being born in a day, but that's not what it means. And where in the world does the Bible say when Jesus comes and they see him, they're all going to believe on him and everybody will be saved? If you're not with me yet, you keep listening to Paul and Peter, and you will be with me. Praise God. Okay, I want to say it again. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my Jewish flesh, and might save some of them, a few of them. Okay, and again we read 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. This is very popular with a lot of you. You that have been born again and use this verse to describe your new birth, and that's good, but that's not all it means. Listen to it. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, all things have become new. We talk about, we used to smoke, we don't anymore. We used to drink, we don't anymore. We used to cheat, lie, and steal, and we don't anymore. And that's good, but that's not all. That's not all it's saying. Listen to the verse before it, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Hear this now. We don't know anybody as a Jew or a Gentile, or we know everybody as brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? We know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Did you get that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. That Jewish nationality passed away. And all things are become new. We're new creatures in Christ, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to Jesus talk to a Jew. Hear what Jesus says to a fellow Jew. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He might as well have said, except a Jew be born again. He might as well have said, unless you, Nicodemus, Pastor Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, Bishop Nicodemus, Rabbi Nicodemus, unless you're born again, even though you are a Jew, you will never see the kingdom of God. You got that? He's talking to a Jew. This is what he's saying to a Jew. Can I believe Jesus? You better believe it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then he says, That which is born of flesh is flesh. Jewish, Norwegian, German, Bohemian, I don't care. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Jesus made a distinction between the flesh and the spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:18. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Behold, Israel after the flesh. And again, Galatians 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, this is Galatians 6:12. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ, which made us both one. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory in my flesh, my Jewish flesh, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, the whole Gentile world, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, listen to this, being a Jew availeth nothing, and being a Gentile availeth nothing. 15th verse. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, which agrees with 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, therefore all things are become new. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Remember now we read Israel after the flesh, now we're reading the Israel of God. Paul says, From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He's saying, sure, I got those marks of circumcision, but don't bother me. I've got those scars on my back. I've got those bruises on my head. I've shed a lot of blood. Bother me no more. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus because I believe that the Gentiles have entered in. And because we're one creature, or we're one people in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love it. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. See, Paul made a difference between Israel after the flesh and the Israel of God. Okay, here's the distinction again. Galatians 4:23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. And then Galatians 4:29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, like Esau did Isaac, even so it is now, just like the world persecutes you, the church, the people of God. Ephesians 2. Read this with me. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, he's writing to a Gentile church. He says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. You were Gentiles in the flesh. Who are called uncircumcision, that's Gentiles, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Listen to this now. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Okay, who is far off? Gentiles. Who is nigh? Jews. They were. Okay. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh to Jesus by the blood of Jesus, or by the blood of Christ. Listen to this. Verse 14, for he is our peace who hath made both one. That's both Jew and Gentile one. And hath broken down the middle wall, a partition between Jew and Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity between Jew and Gentile, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of Jew and Gentile one new man, so making peace between Jew and Gentile, and that he might reconcile Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity between Jew and Gentile thereby, and came and preached peace to you Gentiles and to the Jews. For through him we, both Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, that's Jew and Gentile, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also, you Gentiles also, are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What do you think of this? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God any more than corruption can inherit incorruption. Somebody says, well, that's talking about corruption. I said, right. But doesn't it say that Gentile flesh and blood and Jewish flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God? You've got to be a new creature. Galatians 3. Three verses in Galatians 3. Verse 1, 2, 3. Listen to this. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? See, we get saved and all of a sudden we get educated and we hear sermons and we read books and all of a sudden we turn back to Judaism. No need, Paul says. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the Jewish flesh or by the flesh? What were they going to do? Were they going to be saved by turning back to Judaism? No salvation. That's what Paul's saying. Okay, read chapter 2 of Romans. Chapter 2, verse 17. You like the Bible? Praise the Lord. I love my Bible. 2:17 of Romans. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thou thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is worthless. And the truth is, they all broke the law. Jesus said, and none of you keepeth it. I think he meant none, didn't he? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, who is one which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. John 1, verse 11. John 1, verse 11. Some of you know this by memory. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What does that mean? That means Jesus came unto his own people, the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You must be born again. Being born a Jew won't do you any good. How many know that? That won't save you. No way. Because no natural birth is good enough, except Jesus' natural birth. Because when Jesus was born in the flesh, simultaneously, instantaneously, he was born of the Spirit. You can prove that from the Christmas story. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee. And that thing, holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. When Jesus was born naturally, he was born he was born simultaneously full of the Holy Ghost. Born of the Spirit. He was born of the flesh and born of the Spirit at the same time. Nobody else can do that. Nobody. He's alone. Amen. Okay. So now, God does not recognize circumcision in the flesh anymore. And God does not recognize a Jew in the flesh anymore. Nor does God recognize a Gentile in the flesh. Has to be in the Spirit. He that is joined to an harlot is one flesh with the harlot. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Right? Is that what it says? That's what it says. Trust me. Look it up. Conclusion. Wait, one more verse. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, Jesus said. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. Conclusion for me, there is no calling for the flesh. Romans 11:32. For God hath concluded them all, which means both Jew and Gentile, in unbelief. He concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all Jew and Gentile. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's Jew and Gentile. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Whew. There's only one calling. It's not of the flesh. Listen to it. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Oh, that's high calling. There's one calling. Therefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:11. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Oh, here he said, this calling. God count you worthy of this. Oh, we got two callings now. Who hath saved us, 2 Timothy 1:9, and called us with an holy calling. Oh, now we got three callings. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now we got four callings, the heavenly calling. Are these all separate callings, or could they be one and the same? Huh? Do you think they're separate callings? If you do, then I want to know which calling you're in. Are you in the high calling, this calling, holy calling, or heavenly calling? Which calling are you? You got to know what your calling is. Okay. They're one and the same. Listen. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, are called. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Wherefore also we pray, and we read that one, of this calling, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Heavenly calling. It's calling, it's calling. Here's the one. Now here I got you now. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, first you got to know which calling you have. You know, do you have a high calling, a holy calling, a heavenly calling, this calling, that calling, the other calling? Whichever calling you have, you got to make sure of your calling. Make your calling and election sure. Shall we start a new heresy? Shall we start a new doctrine? Oh, let's see. Nathan, what's your calling? Sister Tamberg, what's your calling? Brother Reby, what's your calling? Brother Jenke, what's your calling? Why don't you all get together and figure out which calling you have and then make your calling and election sure? You know good and well there's one calling and one God that called us all. Praise God. Praise God for the promises unto you. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. We only have one hope. And it's not one on earth and one in heaven. One hope. Amen. The Bible teaches one body, one nation, and one city. I feel so sorry for those people who think that Jesus is going to rule from old Jerusalem. God, you shouldn't have made that new Jerusalem. We don't need it. We're going to rule from the old. Put a match to it, Lord. Blow it up. Well, what do we got that new Jerusalem for if we're going to? Come on. Don't you think that supersedes? Don't you think the new Jerusalem is better and greater? Oh, do you want me to read it to you in Galatians 4? You better believe it's go. Let's go ahead and do it. Galatians 4. Let's talk about those Jerusalems. Okay. Verse 22. Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Remember now, bondmaid and free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. That's where the Ten Commandments were given. That's where the law was given to Moses. Which is Agar, or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage to her children. That's the old Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. You go into your motherland? Hallelujah! Follow me, Jesus says. Let's go to the motherland. The Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. What does that mean? Mother of all the Jews, mother of all the Gentiles, mother of anybody that's born again, because a mother gives birth. Hallelujah! Praise God. Amen. Glad I read that to understand. Okay, just a few minutes. Why did Jesus tell his disciples not to go to the Gentiles? Read. Matthew 10, 5 through 7. He picked his 12 disciples. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Well, that makes the Jews special people, doesn't it? Okay, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus himself was not sent to the Gentiles. Am I digging a hole for myself? Am I giving myself trouble? Am I causing myself problems? Because I said there's only one calling and the Jewish flesh doesn't count? Now what am I saying? Let's answer it. Jesus wasn't sent to the Gentiles. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what Jesus said. Okay. Jesus' mission was to confirm the promises of God to the Jews. See, God made some promises to Abraham. And God fulfilled those promises. And now, let's talk. Listen to this. I said Jesus' mission was to confirm the promises of God to the Jews. Here's a verse that you ought to underline in your Bible. Romans 15:8. And while you're looking up that, remember Romans 9:27. We're talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Chapter 9. Romans 15:8 says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises to the Jews, to the Jewish fathers, to the fathers. To confirm the promises unto the fathers. That's what Jesus came to do. Follow me now. And in Daniel 9, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant. I think it's misleading when people say that the Antichrist is going to confirm a covenant with the Jews. He's going to allow them to set up animal sacrifices in a rebuilt temple, in which the Bible says nothing about a reconstituted priesthood and a rebuilt temple. Absolutely nothing. But here, this is all kind of assumed. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. I believe that Jesus had a 3.5-year ministry and that he caused on Calvary's cross the sacrifice and oblation to effectively cease. I gotta believe that. Because I'm reading Romans 15:8. I say Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises unto the fathers. Now listen to this. Jesus fulfilled Romans 15:8. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till I have finished my work. Till all have been fulfilled. Till my mission is completed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Now, after fulfilling Romans 15:8, after keeping his promises to Abraham and to his posterity, the Jews, he fulfilled and he kept every word. We said that last Wednesday night. His commitment to the Jews was complete. Did you hear that? His commitment to the Jews was complete. He fulfilled all his promises. Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And he did it. Daniel 9. Read it. Now he would turn to the Gentiles. And you and I can shout and cry and weep and scream and holler and run the aisles for joy for our salvation tonight. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, Brother Jenke, in that song service, I don't know how many times you said, we're not deserving, we're not deserving, we're not deserving. And that's my closing note here, is we're not deserving. Listen to this. Brother, what a confirmation to my message tonight. Okay, we quote this verse so often. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen how important the last few words are. To the Jew first. See, those promises had to be fulfilled. Those promises had to be kept. And now that he's kept them, now that they're all fulfilled, That's history. Now he says, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you get this? Now he would turn to the Gentiles because the Jews rejected him. Can I prove that? Let me prove it. You know, sometimes we just read the epistles. We don't read the book of Acts. We don't read those marvelous, power-packed, anointed sermons of the Apostle Paul and Peter in the book of Acts. Let me just read a couple of excerpts from some sermons to you tonight. Paul preached, this is Acts 13:38. I love this. Acts 13:38. Paul preached in the synagogue at Antioch in Pisidia. Okay? Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Talking to Jews, isn't it? Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. We're not even quite halfway into the book of Acts, and he's talking like this. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles, you know, peeking around the corner, listening through the crack in the window, looking through the halfway open door. Listen, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles snuck in there. Besought that these words, hey, will you preach to us? Hey, preacher, will you preach to us? Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them and persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, as Gentiles, they were filled with envy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. They thought they had a monopoly on God, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that God keep his promises unto you Jews. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth, unto Eau Claire, Wisconsin, unto 840 Market Street and 99th Avenue. Praise God. And when the Gentiles heard this, they sang, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. I think God's worthy of a hand clap. This same Jesus who said, go not to the house of Israel, also said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That means Gentile sheep I have, and they're on the way. They're on the way, which are not of this Jewish fold. Praise God. Listen to it. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear his voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Not Jew and Gentile, but one church out of both Jew and Gentile. Praise God. I believe it. Hallelujah. Now let's go to another excerpt from Acts chapter 28. We're not only halfway through the book of Acts, we're at the end of the book of Acts, 28 chapters. Acts 28, beginning at verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, that's the Apostle Paul, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. How would you like to have Brother Klickner teach you how to teach home Bible studies without a New Testament? That's all Paul had. So all he had was the Old Testament. And he taught them about Jesus from morning till night out of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and out of the prophets from morning till evening. I still think that would be a good church, so that we could love Jesus more and appreciate our salvation like we ought to appreciate it. We should all have an assignment. Take it upon ourselves, or let me organize one when I get time. An assignment to lead somebody to Christ from the Old Testament without the New. That's what he did. That's what they all did. Think about it. I want you to know Jesus is in that Old Testament. Right from Genesis 3:15, where it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And on and on and on. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And on and on and on. In Deuteronomy, for instance, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear, and whosoever won't hear, that one's going to be cut off good and proper. Okay. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. See? Some believed, some believed not, and they had a disagreement. Paul had the last word. He quoted from Isaiah, the Old Testament. Listen to this. Paul had the last word. And when they agreed not among themselves, verse 25, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And they have closed their and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now listen to this last verse. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Aren't you glad you heard it? Aren't you glad you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Hallelujah. Matthew 15, let me read this. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you know the rest of the story. But my question is, why did Jesus say he was sent to Israel only? I have heard people unwittingly, I do not charge them with a high crime, I have heard people unwittingly criticize Jesus for being so selective, as though Jesus was biased or prejudiced because he would only minister to the Jews. Now hear my answer. They say it as though he was capable of injustice. Is Jesus capable of injustice? Because he said, we can't give the children's bread to the dogs. He said this to a woman, a Gentile woman. It's not right. It's not fit. It's not meet that we should give this to the dogs. Yea, Lord. And I don't know if she just fell down. Yea, Lord. Even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That woman got what she went for. She went home and her demon-possessed daughter was cured. Just healed, healthy. Let me tell you something. Faith will barrel through anything. It'll cross over anything. It will find its mark in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. He's there. He's there. Listen. When people say to me, why wasn't Jesus sent to the Gentiles also? I say to them, The question should really be, why was he sent to anyone? Why was he sent to anyone? I repeat, why Israel only? My answer, why anybody? Okay? Even if you don't get the rest of the revelation or understand the rest of it, learn that nobody deserves it. Nobody. Jew, Gentile, anybody. So if you can get that straight, then you can think right for the rest of it. Let me say it again. Why Israel only? I repeat, why anybody? Why should he be sent to anybody? Sent from heaven to earth to die? The pure, holy Son of God? Who was worthy of his coming anyway? Who did God owe anything to? Tell me somebody. Who did God owe anything to? He owed nobody anything. Amen. God is in debt to no one. He created the angels. He is not in debt to the angels. He created Adam and Eve. He is not in debt to Adam. He is not in debt to Moses, Elijah. He is not in debt to David. He is not in debt to me, and he is not in debt to you. No man can make God his debtor. And as he prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, that's special attention. Really listen. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and they had a conversation on the Mount of Transfiguration. They talked with Jesus. They were brought up from wherever they were and appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, and James, Peter, and John were there. I mean, they were startled. But the Bible says, who appeared in glory, and they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. I wonder how much we all appreciate his decease. His death on Calvary. We had no claim on him. We had absolutely no claim on him. We deserve to die, not he. Would anybody say amen to that? Amen. It is only by his grace, amazing grace, that anybody is saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, would you stand and worship Jesus with me? Behold, a woman of